Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Why do you punish me? Is love a crime? If so, I'll spend a lifetime loving, serving time.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. It's our family meeting on punishment today. And while we've been thinking about punishment on a larger societal scale with our last guests, you were probably first punished by your parents right at home. And while the methods of punishing children have changed over the years, the goals haven't changed all that much. But have we learned anything? Here with me to answer your questions about effectively punishing kids is Dr. Elizabeth Guthrie, a psychiatrist and associate clinical professor of psychiatry and pediatrics at Columbia University. Hi, Dr. Guthrie. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much.
And listeners, if you've been frustrated or maybe more likely confused by what kinds of punishment works for your kids and have a question for Dr. Guthrie, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or maybe there's something that you found really works, 212-433-9692. And I guess, Dr. Guthrie, one pretty major question we've been trying to answer all show, whether it's in our homes or in the criminal justice system, is when punishment works, when it can be an effective tactic for changing behavior, and how. So where would you start on that big question?
Well, I think punishment is sort of one of the last things we want to do when we're talking about discipline. I'd like to pull the camera back a little bit and talk about how we get youngsters to behave in ways or comply with things we want them to do. And so reinforcing positive behaviors and ignoring them or timing them out or withdrawing our attention are very effective things to do with younger kids before you get to actually punishing them. And sometimes when we think we're punishing kids by yelling at them, we're actually reinforcing their behavior with negative attention.
Why would it reinforce? I know we hear this all the time. Why would negative attention reinforce behavior? You don't want to be yelled at.
If you grow up in a family where, you know, you get a lot of positive attention, then you're right. You don't want to be yelled at. But being yelled at is better than being totally ignored. And it's a pretty powerful thing for a child to be able to push those buttons in a parent.
If that's the choice.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it really depends on the context, on the family that the child's in.
So would you say punishment works to stop unwanted behaviors but not to bring about wanted ones?
Yes, I think that that's probably a safe generalization to make. But, you know, I think that punishment isn't bad, but when parents are overreactive or super lax, both of those approaches have been shown to be less helpful in terms of youngsters gaining competence and really developing and internalizing the kinds of things we want them to internalize. So, you know, both ends of the parenting spectrum are not as effective as being really predictable and consistent and having the punishment fit the crime, so to speak, right?
Yep.
In terms of parenting.
How do you know what punishment fits what crime at different ages?
Well, it really depends developmentally, right? If you're talking about a preschooler, we can't even assume that a youngster has a clue of what they're doing. And so you're worried about safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tend to
get that fork out of that socket now.
Yes, exactly. Or get your finger out of the burner now. Generally, there are consequences that are very instructive to kids when they do things like that as well, like pain. But, you know, we worry about safety in toddlers. It's better to talk in school-age kids and adolescents about the punishment fitting the crime, like if a youngster, you know, drinks beer or something like that when they're underage but old enough to drive, taking away car keys makes a lot of sense and is also a very effective punishment, in addition, obviously, to maybe other things restricting their partying and such. And so having it align and prohibit repeating that behavior generally is more logical to a kid and doesn't feel cruel, right? We want to avoid punishments that become exaggerated. And sometimes you'll see parents. I was just flying the other day, and I saw a father totally lose it with his five-year-old. And it was clear that he was just very upset about something else. And his reaction to her knocking over a suitcase was so exaggerated and beyond, and the kid was, you know, really discombobulated by it. And that's a very scary experience for a youngster, not be able to predict what's going to set somebody off.
And it erodes the legitimacy of the authority.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Tom in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to add my two cents to this discussion. As I am a father of five children, I have four boys that are between the ages of roughly, because I don't remember, 23 and 19, and I have a 9-year-old daughter. And we've always implemented corporal punishment, mostly judiciously, sometimes a little bit off the handle. But I really think that corporal punishment was very, very effective, particularly with the boys.
How much corporate punishment? Of what kind? In what circumstances?
It would consist of the dreaded wooden spoon, but we always bought cheap wooden spoons so they would break if we got too crazy. But, yes, so, I mean, if we wanted a particular sort of behavior that they were engaging in to stop and to stop immediately after being, you know, forewarned, we would use a wooden spoon on the children.
And you found it effective?
Extremely effective. Now, I'll tell you this, that with my daughter, I couldn't raise a wooden spoon to her if I wanted to. And nor does she give cause nearly to the extent that my four sons did. I have to insert that. And by the way, all four of my sons, two of them are military academy graduates or the other two are doing quite well in university. So they give the appearance of being well-adjusted, let's put it that way, and on the way.
And you don't think there was any other way besides the spoon that you could have brought about the desired behavior?
I'm sure there were myriad ways, but that's the way we decided stop the behavior. That is the technique that we decided to use. And I would say, you know, I think it's a time tried and true. Spare the rod and spoil the child is a, you know, an Old Testament, for goodness sake.
Yes, so, Tom, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. And oh boy, here we go. We could do a 2-hour show on that, Dr. Guthrie. But how much were you cringing and how much were you thinking, okay, for some people, that's legitimate and it works if you don't go beyond a certain point?
Well, as a parent and I'm a child psychiatrist, I've also trained in pediatrics, I really believe that if you can avoid corporal punishment, there's lots of research out there to show that corporal punishment often ends up backfiring and getting passed along. There are certain circumstances where spanking, you know, there are different families, different cultures, different backgrounds. If it's done in an incredibly predictable, consistent way and nobody ever loses any kind of restraint there, you know, that's different. To me, when you use something like a paddle or a brush or a spoon, then that makes me less comfortable when I think about kids. But, you know, there's a huge spectrum of how people discipline their youngsters. And I think that every child is different, too. And maybe as we develop as parents and feel more competent as parents, and that might be developmentally something that happens. Obviously, there's a gender difference in what Tom was describing between the boys and the girls, and every child is different. But I wonder if, you know, part of getting physical also sometimes makes the parent feel less in control of what's going on. And we're talking not only about developing a child's feeling of competency, but a parent developing a feeling of competency and, like, this situation's in control. Some people do that with spanking. I tend to believe that if you can avoid physical punishment, with striking a kid or hitting a kid or making a kid kneel on a cheese grater or making a kid kneel on uncooked rice. I think one of your bloggers wrote something about that. Then those things are extreme. Spanking is not so extreme. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't like any physical yeah. punishment.
So, listeners, we're not going to spend the rest of the show on this, though we could. So have the conversation about corporal punishment on our comments page if you want at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And something that we pulled from the comments page, Dr. Guthrie, is a question that a listener named Liz posted who asks, what can a parent do about a 13-year-old boy who lies and is very sneaky? Other kids report behavior that he will never admit to. We have no proof other than the other child's testimony, but similar behavior is reported over and over again. Our son will deny it and stick to his story under pressure.
Okay. So I think that it's very hard to generalize, and I would wonder, why is a kid sneaky and why is he lying? Does he have problems with impulsivity? Has there been some lesson he's learned that this is effective, or does he feel incompetent in pulling things off if he tells the truth? And if, you know, they have tried to have discussions with him where he doesn't feel threatened about it, I think it's perfectly appropriate to punish by re-grounding or taking away electronics or taking away some of the things, depriving him of some of the activities that he likes. If it persists, I would definitely have him seen by somebody to make sure that we're not missing something that he's reacting to, like a learning problem, like a problem with his ability to inhibit certain things, and that he's sort of doing these maladjusted behaviors to compensate for feelings of inadequacy or inabilities to achieve certain things.
Mary in Asbury Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Brian. I wanted to call because you asked about effective methods, and I wanted to mention Howard Glasser's The Nurtured Child Approach. He's written a book called The Nurtured Heart, rather, and the subtitle is Transforming the Difficult Child. And I'll just say that I think that's what gets most parents in when they read that subtitle. But really, I think it's transforming the parent who's at their wit's end. And
yeah.
the approach is very, very straightforward. And it's about, just as your guest said, that intense kids want relationship. It doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative. I mean, positive is better, but if you're not getting what you want, they know how to push your buttons, and they get what they need. And in this approach, he does encourage you to start right at the beginning and start noticing your child, everything and anything that's good. And sometimes that's really hard in the beginning. But it does start you in a habit of noticing and verbalizing what you're noticing. With intense kids, very often we parents are just tiptoeing around when the kids are being good. But he says, you know, jump right in and say something about that. When you get to the punishment part, and there is a punishment part, he has something called a reset. And really, what he's saying is you say to your kid, take a reset, and it's 40 seconds, 60 seconds, and you thank them for the reset. But you've made the family life so rich and so inviting through this approach of noticing
the positivity,
the positive, that the kid wants to get back in it.
Thank you very much, Mary. We have a minute left, Dr. Guthrie. I wonder, and this recalls other threads of this show today, both on the criminal justice system and on personal stuff, if you think that punishment is ever not just for behavior modification, but because a child, in this case a child, deserves it, because there's an inherent good to punishing for something that is inherently bad. We just have 30 seconds. Or is that really a religious and cultural question, and it just kind of varies from culture to culture?
You know, I think that is a huge question. And I think punishment should be avoided, but I do think that it's necessary at times when you've exhausted the other things. But as the caller just said, parental valence is so strong. Paying attention to our kids when we catch them doing good is infinitely more powerful than punishing them
Dr.
when
Elizabeth
they're bad.
Dr. Elizabeth Guthrie from Columbia University, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And that's our family meeting on punishment.